the 20th chapter. And we want to read from the 27th verse. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have seen, that have not seen, and yet have believed. I guess what we want to title this morning is My Lord and My God. And I want to just kind of talk to you this morning, and because I believe that I need to reemphasize, if I could say it that way, the deity of Christ. And the reason I say that is because the Son of God message, I have been accused by many. How many knows there's always somebody to accuse you? And how many knows who the accuser is? Who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But I have been accused of denying the deity of Christ because of that message. The deity of Christ is a statement that you do not find in the Bible, first of all. Deity, what would you describe the word deity or the definition of the word deity? Someone tell me there or what you feel like the definition of deity is. Nobody knows what the definition of deity is? Yes? Who they are? No. The deity, godliness, God is deity. Something, an object of worship is deity. An object of worship is the deity. If you worshiped an idol, that idol would be a deity. If you worship God, then God is deity. Are you understanding? So I've been accused of denying the godliness or deity of Christ. We've got a tape, I don't know if it's still around, Sister Lisa might have thrown it away, where a preacher accused me before his congregation as saying, as a matter of fact, I'll give you almost a verbatim of what he said because it upset me so much. Almost verbatimly, he said, Brother Hayes teaches that if Jesus Christ walks into the room, into your room, you are not to fall down and worship him. Which is a lie, of course. I never have taught any such thing as that. And he goes on to say that he denies the deity of Christ. That he teaches that Jesus was only a man. All of those statements are false. I don't teach any of those things. But see, it's a misunderstanding of the Scripture. It's a misunderstanding of the message. And I've said to many people many times, I said, well, if they can't understand the Bible, they sure cannot understand me. If they can't understand what's plainly written in the Word of God, they'll never understand my preaching. Because if you stick to the Word of God, you preach what the Word says, you're going to bring as much confusion as the Bible has brought to people that does not have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. It is a spiritual revelation. And when people will get to the place to where they will quit reading the Bible with carnal understanding, with carnal interpretation, with a private interpretation, and let the Holy Ghost reveal the Word of God to them, then we can come into one mind and one accord. So this morning I want to teach, preach, prophesy, talk, or whatever you want to call it, about the deity of Christ. Did Thomas make a mistake by calling him my Lord and my God? Of course not. Why did Thomas say, my Lord and my God? Because Thomas was in the presence of a resurrected Christ. A man that he had walked with, talked with, slept with, ate with for three and a half years. A man that he had seen perform miracles, walk on the water, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, open the blinded eyes, multiply the fishes and the loaves. And then he had witnessed the murder of this same man. Now this same man was appearing before him in the same body that he had lived with him, seeing the nail-scarred hands, seeing the side that was pierced, that same man, Jesus, was standing before him, completely and totally resurrected. And I'll guarantee you, if you had been in the same room, you would have been doing the same thing that Thomas had done. You had been on your bended knee saying, "My Lord and my God." Because it could have only been his Lord and his God that stood before him. And when we need to understand the entirety of the scripture, or we need to understand the dimension of Christ, you cannot have an understanding just of one dimension of Jesus, because he's more than one dimension. He's dimensional. And we need to understand that to be able, amen, to convey the message in its entirety where people can understand what we're talking about. Let's read it again. "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." But now, what did Jesus imply that we believe? That he was God? That he was the Father? What was it that Jesus wanted us to believe? Let's continue to read. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Now look at verse 31 closely. "But these are written. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." All of those things that were written, the exclamation of Thomas, all the things that's written in the scripture, was to lead us to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Everything that was written from the first John, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, throughout all the epistles of the apostles, everything that they wrote, everything that they taught, everything that they preached, was that the world might believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. Is he my Lord and is he my God? Yes, he's my Lord and he's my God. Why is he my God? Because the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ. He is the ordained place of worship. I've said it over and over and over. You cannot find God except in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ. Though you go to Mars or Jupiter or to the universe or down to hell itself, you cannot find God but in Jesus Christ. He is the ordained place of worship. Therefore, he is our Lord and he is our God. He is the place of worship. A God is to be worshipped. A God is to be worshipped. And because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, then we can only find God there. But remember, it was written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe that? In the beginning, in Luke and 1, chapter 1, verse 35. "And the angel answered and said unto her," the Holy Ghost. This is how it all began. Do you love the Lord this morning? Luke 1 and 35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." In Matthew 1 and 20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." This man, Jesus, was born of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And that was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. And that which was conceived in her was to be called the Son of God. Children of God, what we are combating in the hour that we're living in is the theology of Catholicism, the theology of Protestantism, the theology of the charismatic and the Pentecostalism. What we're struggling against today is man's ideas, man's theology of what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible tells us that the Scripture is of no private interpretation. When man quits trying to interpret the Word of God and begins to accept the Word of God as to what it's saying, children, that will bring us into one mind and one accord. But until we forget and try to get everything out of our minds that man has taught us, we'll always be divided. We'll always be suspicious of one another. We'll always, amen, that break that is breaking the brotherhood, amen. It'll dominate your mind and you refuse to have a brother or a sister, amen. Why? Because doctrine has split the church. Doctrine, man-made doctrine. I'm not talking about God's doctrine. I'm talking about man-made doctrine has separated the church of the living God. And we need to get back to the foundation and recognize that the only thing we must know and believe is that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And if we acknowledge the Son, we have the Father also. Amen. There's no mysterious Godhead mumbo jumbo. There's no Trinity mumbo jumbo. There's no oneness or Jesus only teaching. It's Jesus. Amen. If we just preach Jesus and accept Him, you've got the Holy Ghost. You've got the Father. You've got everything that God wants you to have if you acknowledge the Son of God. And that's the message that we're trying to get across, amen, to hard-headed preachers and hard-headed men and women. They've got to get this out of their minds and just accept Christ, amen. And people are hard-headed in this generation. Thank God, amen, that Jesus gives His prophets a harder head and the hard-headed people that they got to preach to. Amen. Without a hard head, amen, you might as well quit and forget the whole thing. I mean, knows what I'm saying. Amen. Unless you got a hard head, amen, them hard-headed people out there, they're going to butt you, amen, and they're going to knock you down. We all need to be praying that God give us a harder head and what the people's got, and we can butt them down by the word of the living God. Amen. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, He is the one, amen, that God wants us to preach. God never called me to preach Godhead mumbo jumbo. Man told me to preach that. The message, amen, from the beginning, the teaching from the beginning is that Jesus would be taught as the Son of the living God. Amen. Listen to this. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy 3:16. You all know these scriptures. But I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Did God become a man? Let me ask you this question. Was Jesus the incarnation of God? Did God become a man? That's straight from, amen, the teaching of the whore. Roman Catholicism in 325 A.D., they came up, amen, with the incarnate God. Amen, that God was incarnated in the flesh. Amen, now they're moving on. Amen, and they're going to bring Mary into it. Amen, that she was born, amen, that she was born, amen, that not of a regular birth, but she was immaculately born, just like Jesus. Amen, without a father or anything. Amen, and they're going to exalt Mary, amen. Already she's the matriarch of heaven. Amen. Already that she is the one. Amen. Knows that Jesus, amen, is the mediator between God and man. But now they've exalted Mary. Amen. And now she's going to become a mediator. Amen. Between man and Christ. And then Christ is going to be the mediator. Amen. From there to God. See, that's the confusion. And that's the spirit. Amen. It's in the world today. That's the spirit on Trinity Broadcast. That's the spirit. Amen. Throughout the church world. Amen. It's the spirit of the wicked one. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of the devil. Amen. And people, amen, we need to wake up and get back to the Word of God. Amen. And get ourselves separated from the spirits of Antichrist and begin to believe the Word of God. Amen. That the Holy Ghost is revealing to us. That spirit that God was incarnated in the flesh comes straight from the pits of hell. It comes straight from the wicked one, the Antichrist himself. You can go back to Babylonian times. You can go back to the religions of man way before Jesus ever came. And it was always an incarnate God. It was always a God that either became a man or that the Son God became this. Amen. Or this happened or that happened. Amen. It's straight from paganism. Amen. We ought not to both follow in paganism. We ought to not follow heathenism. But we're to follow God. We're not to follow man. We're not to follow the doctrines or teachings of man. But we're to follow the Word of God. And the way to follow the Word of God is accept what the Word says. But we can say, well, I just don't understand this. I just can't understand. You know why you can't understand it? Because you're trying to figure it out. It means what it says, and it says what it means. You don't have to figure it out. When he said that Jesus is the Son of God, that's exactly what it means. When it says that God was manifested in the flesh, that's exactly what it means. When it says that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in him, that's what it means. Nowhere in the scriptures does it teach that God became a man. Nowhere in the scriptures does it teach that Jesus was the incarnated God. But it does teach that God was manifested in the flesh. I'll tell you what. There's a preacher. I'm not going to call his name, but many of you know him. In 1967. Amen. And I believe this actually happened. I've always believed it actually happened to him. In 1967, after many days of fasting, Jesus appeared in his room and touched the palm of his hand. Are you listening to me? But I want you to understand what the message was. When Jesus touched him in the palm of his hands, amen, he said, I am Jesus. Everything that you do, do in my name. I am Jesus. Amen. Are you listening to me? And that brother went about preaching Jesus. Children of God, that's still the message. See, that same Jesus, amen, I believe that appeared to that brother and touched him in the palm of his hands. I believe that was the beginning of the message that Jesus was the Son of the living God. And everything that we do, we must do in the name of Jesus Christ. That was the beginning of the message. And now this is the consummation of the message. Amen. It would behold the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? It would behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. That was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. For we must behold the Lamb. We've got to behold the man, Christ Jesus. He is the one that died for you. He's the one that suffered the pain and the agony of the cross. And he is the one that was resurrected. Hallelujah. God was not born, and God did not die, and God was not resurrected. But the Son of the living God, even Jesus, the Christ, he is the one that gave his life. And he is the one, amen, that the Father has ordained before the foundation of the world, amen, to become the one, amen, that we are to worship, that we are to exalt. It's his will that he be preached. And man has confused this whole thing. And some of the brethren, amen, instead of sticking to the message, amen, and building on the message and bringing the revelation of the message to the people, amen, they drifted into Jesus only, and they drifted into Trinitarianism and oneness and all these other things, amen, but the message is still the same. He is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I said he is the Lamb of God. He is the one, amen, that died, amen, and rose from the dead the third day. And he is the message. He is the message. But many have perverted the message and denied that Jesus himself. Why don't you know that Jesus is the Father? Amen. The oneness and the Jesus only teach, amen. And if you don't believe that Jesus is the Father, amen, that you're not of God. And you know it's the truth. Amen. Sometimes I talk to them, they'll call me, and they'll deny that and get up in their pulpits and preach it anyway. I want you to know something. There's a place that God has reserved for liars. Hallelujah. I mean, knows what I'm saying. God has a place reserved for liars. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak it in love. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm for speaking it in love. Amen. But we need to speak it in sincerity. We need to preach the Word of God as it is written. Amen. Why? Because it's not our revelation. It was a revelation given to the holy apostles of old. It's their revelation. Amen. I'm not preaching my message. I'm preaching Paul's message. I'm preaching Peter's message. I'm preaching Matthew's message. I'm preaching their message. Yes, I preach another man's message. It's not my message, but it's Jesus' message. I have no message of my own. I have no doctrine of my own. I have no teaching of my own. All I know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. All I know, hallelujah, is what the Word has declared. Yes, we all preach another man's message, but what man's message are you preaching? Are you preaching the man of sin's message? Are you preaching the man of God's message? We're wondering today, well, who is the man of God? I'll tell you who the man of God is. It's Jesus Christ. It's Paul. It's Peter. It's James. It's John. It's the holy ones, amen, that were before old ordained, amen, not to condemnation, but to glory. It was for those that were ordained to bring the message of life and the message of joy and peace to a lost and dying world. It's their message, amen, and they're the men of God. They're the apostles. They're the prophets, amen. And I'm simply preaching what they preached. and can take no glory, can take no honor, can take no position, can take no title. Why? Because I have no honor, I have no glory, I have no position, and I have no title. Why? Because I have no message. Hallelujah. It's their message. Thank God. Hallelujah. That is their message. Amen. And we need to preach today. Thank God for that. I can't take credit for revelation. Why? Because they already received the revelation. Hallelujah. I can only say thank you, Jesus, for understanding. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Even though I got a small brain, even though, Lord, I'm dumb in a lot of ways, but thank God, amen, that you told me, amen, to preach what they preached and not put your own emphasis on it, to preach what they said, and you'll be on safe ground. How many wants to be on safe ground? Hallelujah. Well, just say what they say. Hallelujah. Just preach what they preached and let it go, amen, and you're on safe ground. But then when you come up with all this other stuff, that Jesus was his own father, that there's a Trinity, that there's a two-ness, and you start implying all of these things, you're on dangerous ground. You're on dangerous ground. Why? Because you're putting your own interpretation into the Word of God. It's quiet when you say things like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what. I'd rather be found drunk on a bar stool somewhere, laying in a gutter. Are you listening to me? Amen. Sleeping on the streets. Amen. Filled with dope and everything else. Amen. And to pervert God's word. Are you listening to me? I'd rather be found, amen, out there in the world somewhere than to pervert God's word. Amen. Why? Because, amen, there's something about the word of God. Amen. There's something about the word of God. The word of God brings life. The word of God brings healing. The word of God brings deliverance. The word of God brings peace. It brings joy. Amen. The word of God, it brings a revelation. It brings you to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why it should never be perverted. Never be perverted. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There is a great mystery of godliness. It should be without, it is without controversy. There is a great mystery there. God was manifest. You listen. God was manifest. The word manifest means to be shown openly, to be revealed. Didn't say incarnate. The word incarnate means for God to become a man. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Are you listening? Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus, the Son of the living God. Amen. How that God was manifested in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Amen. When Philip asked him, amen, said, show us the Father. He said, many, Philip, have I been with you so long a time? Amen. And you don't know me. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. But he said that no man has seen God at any time. Amen. But he could see Jesus. And when he's seen Jesus, he's seen the Father. Why? Because he was the Son, amen, of the Father. And Jesus went on as to say, if you don't believe me for the work's sake. He said, it's not I that doeth the works, but it's him that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works, amen. What was Jesus saying? He said, when you see me do the works of God, you're seeing the Father, amen. He said, it wasn't him, it was the works, amen. That's what he was trying to get the people to see. He said, when somebody is healed, it's God. When somebody is delivered, you're seeing God. When somebody is saved, amen, we've seen God in this place many a time. When we've seen people healed, when we've seen people saved, when we've seen somebody delivered, we've seen the Father. Why? Because the Father was manifesting himself in human flesh, because he was sick, was healed, and people were delivered. That's when we see God, and that's what Jesus was saying. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Believe me for the work's sake, for it's him that's doing the works. But today we want to pervert everything and put that into our doctrine. And make a doctrine out of something that Jesus never intended for doctrine to be made out of. And hence now, the Trinitarians are not our brothers. No. And the Trinitarians, Jesus only is not our brothers.
Here you got division, amen. That's got to be broken. That must be broken. Why? Because it's dividing the brotherhood. Amen. I've said this many a time. I baptize a lot of Church of God folks. Amen. I baptize Assembly of God folks. Amen. Me and Brother Martin drove all the way to Virginia. Amen. We baptized some out there in the ocean in the wintertime. Amen. But I want you to know, amen, when we baptized them, amen, they didn't get a different Holy Ghost. They had the same Holy Ghost. Why? Because we're all baptized into one body by one Spirit. Amen. Amen. And we're all one by the Holy Ghost. And I believe the Holy Ghost is given to guide us and to lead us into all truth. And when truth shown, amen, they obeyed that form of doctrine and they wanted to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we baptized them, amen, when they come up, they were saved before as it was when they went in the water. And when they come out of the water, the only difference was if they obeyed the doctrine. There was the evidence of the Holy Ghost, not the speaking in tongues, not the prophesying, not the rolling on the floor, but they could hear from heaven. They had an ear to hear what the Spirit was speaking to the church. You want the true evidence of the Holy Ghost? It gives you understanding. It'll guide you into all truth. It'll illuminate your being. It'll show you the truth. I've seen too many tongue talkers that couldn't no more know about the Bible than a man in the moon. I've seen too many tongue talkers. It couldn't have a simple understanding of the Scriptures. Are you listening? And I believe in talking in tongues, but I believe the devil does too. Praise the Lord. Don't y'all get me tickled now. I'm serious about this. 2 Corinthians 5:19. So God was manifested how? In the flesh. He was in Christ. He was visibly shown in Christ. To wit that God, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ. Now, if Paul wanted to be bold about this thing and make it perfectly clear, all he had to say was to wit that God was Christ reconciling the world. But he didn't say God was Christ. He said that God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. Where was God at? Paul's made it bold, made it plain, amen. As plain could be. When you've seen Christ, amen. Amen. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Where was the Father at? No man has seen God at any time. Why? Because he's a spirit and he cannot be seen. Amen. But Jesus was a flesh, blood, bone man, as you could visibly see. And Paul was making it clear, God was in Christ. God was inside of Christ. God lived inside of Christ. So God manifested and God reconciled the world unto himself through, amen, Jesus Christ. God was in Christ. It doesn't say God was Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Look at this in 1 John 5. Thank you, Jesus. How many loves the Lord? I want us to get straightened out, folks. This is a message I believe with all my heart, and I've not said it before, but I believe it did begin in 1967. I really do. I believe it began there, that people's eyes and attentions, amen, was drawn toward the Lamb of God. I believe their eyes and attentions were drawn toward Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. And they begin to get a different perspective of Christ. Amen. They begin to see a different dimension that they had never heard before. See, they had only heard, amen, in Trinity. And they had only heard Jesus only. They had never heard, amen, of beholding the Lamb of God. They had never heard about, amen, lifting up Jesus. They had never heard about, amen, bringing all your eyes and all your attentions upon Jesus Christ. They had never known about a message, amen, that said, amen, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man would be lifted up. Amen. They didn't know anything, amen, about the man Christ Jesus. There was a few who was preaching. Amen. But I believe the message then began to center the attention of people upon Jesus himself, upon the personality of Jesus, upon what Jesus actually did. And the messages back then And I used to preach a lot of them. The message back then, amen, was to get put everybody's attention upon Jesus Christ. Amen. But what happened? Amen. All of a sudden, people's attentions got off Jesus Christ and they got it on God. Their attentions, amen, shifted from the Lamb of God to the Father of lights. Their attention shifted, amen, from the man Christ Jesus, amen, amen, to the glory that went beyond him. And that was not God's will. God's will was for you to recognize the Son of God, for you to exalt the Son of God, for you to recognize and to receive and to acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God. Amen. That your attention would be upon him. Why? Because he is that life-giving spirit. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the ordained place of worship. And the Father had ordained before the foundation of the world that he would be that. Because if you could get to God any other way, if there was no such thing as Jesus, the Son of God, the Jews could be saved today without this, without it. Why? Because they worship the Father. If Jesus was his own Father, then they could be saved because there would be no such thing as the Son of God. It's simple to me. But they can't be saved today unless they acknowledge what? That Jesus is the Son of God. That's what they've got to acknowledge. They cannot be saved any other way. See, I believe this is a message that's going to go to Israel. I believe it's the message, amen, that's going to turn the world upside down. I believe it's the message of salvation. I believe it is the message of deliverance. Amen. Why? Because, amen, you're tearing down Babylon. You're tearing down the traditions and the teachings of Catholicism, Protestantism, and Pentecostalism. Amen. You're shifting the attention of the people away from all these ideas. And now they're beholding the Lamb of God. They're beholding the Christ. They're beholding the one that John said, amen, when he saw him coming. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I've said it many a time, amen, that John, amen, inside of John was the spirit of Elijah, and the spirit of Elijah in that time introduced the Christ, the Messiah, amen, to the world in that hour. And amen, I believe in the last days that same spirit of Elijah is going to introduce the Christ, the Son of the living God, one more time. Jesus is going to be manifested and Jesus is going to be preached. And I believe that spirit of Elijah is going to say, behold the Lamb of God, behold the Son, hallelujah, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Behold the man Jesus. He is the one, hallelujah, that died for you. He is the one, amen, and was resurrected the third day. He is the one. He is the door, the truth, the life. He is your everything. And I believe that is the spirit that's going to dominate the message in the last days. I believe the heathen is going to hear it. I believe those, amen, it's bound by Catholicism and Protestantism and all the other mess is going to be turned loose by the power of a message. By the power of a message. It's going to break the yoke of man-made teachings. It's going to break the yoke of the spirits of Antichrist. Amen. And he once again will be exalted. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. He is denied today. Jesus and theology is denied today. He is denied. When you say that he is the Father, you're denying that the Son exists. When you say that Jesus was his own Father, you're denying the Son of God. When you're saying that he's a part of the Trinity, that he was one of the three gods that came down and incarnated himself in a baby, you are denying the Son of God. Jesus was not incarnated. Jesus was born. Hallelujah. He was begotten. Hallelujah. He was begotten of the Holy Ghost. He was conceived in the womb of Mary, and he came out of Mary, a man child. Hallelujah. And when you deny that, you're not only a liar, you're Antichrist. And most of the people today in their theology, I'm not talking about in their heart, but in their theology, they deny the man Jesus that he actually exists. That's why I've said, and people look at me like I was crazy, I said, I'm one of the few that believe that that same Jesus is coming back. They look at you like you're crazy. They said, well, everybody believes that. No, they don't. No, they don't. No, I believe that that same Jesus, the man that had his own mind, his own will, his own ambition, who gave his life, who shed his blood, who was pierced, who was nailed to the cross, and who was resurrected, See, if there ain't no such thing as Jesus, the Son of God, there's no resurrection, you don't have no hope. If Jesus Christ is not alive today, you have no hope. I'm talking about the man Jesus. See, I believe that he's alive. Hallelujah. I said, I believe that he is alive today. He had been resurrected, never to die again. And that's the one that's coming back. Hallelujah. I said, that's the one that's going to bust them eastern skies open and come back to this world. Is that same man that hung on that cross. Hallelujah. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. 1 John 5 and 20, if you have it now. And we know, here's the apostle John, and we know, they knew, the church of that time knew. The apostles knew. We know that that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Let's look at it. And we know that the Son of God has come. And he closes by saying, this is the true God and eternal life. Why is Jesus the true God? Hallelujah. It's because you cannot approach God through any other means than through him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. If you could come to God any other way, hallelujah, then amen, there would be two ways to God. But he is the true God. He is the true way to God. Hallelujah. We come to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is the true deity. This is the true place of worship. This is the truth. This is the way to go. This is the one to bow to. This is the one to worship. He is the true God. It doesn't make him two gods or three gods. It doesn't make him his own father. It makes him the place of worship. It makes him the place of worship. This is the true God. Hallelujah. You love the Lord. The only place you'll find him. The only place you'll find him. You'll not find God anywhere except in Jesus. You believe that? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. How many people is in the Godhead? There's no people in the Godhead. There's no persons in the Godhead. Why? What does Godhead mean? What is the definition of Godhead? Someone give me the definition of the word Godhead. What does it imply to you when I say Godhead? First thing that pops in my mind is the doctrine of somebody. But that's not what it's talking about. What does the word Godhead mean? Come on, Bible students, my Lord and my God. Y'all say we believe in the Godhead. Don't you know what the Godhead is? What does the Godhead mean? Come on, quick. It's not a trick question. What does the word Godhead mean? Oh my goodness, I'm glad I wrote it down. Ain't y'all glad I wrote it down? But you know what? I didn't bring it with me. The word Godhead means God. That's what it means. When you take everything away, it means the place of all power. It simply means God, the head of all power. That's what Godhead means. It means the head of all power. It means God. So, when we talk about the Godhead, we're talking about the place of all power. We're talking about God. So, when you're talking about the Godhead, for the Godhead was in him, that's just simply saying the place of all power that God was in him. It's not a doctrine. Well, what do you think about the Godhead? Well, what do you believe about the Godhead? That is such a stupid question. I wish people would wake up and realize that that is an ignorant, stupid question. What do you think about the God? That's like saying, what do you think about God? Are y'all listening? How many persons is in the Godhead? There's no persons in the Godhead. God is not a person. Believe it or not, God is a spirit. A spirit is not a person. I'll give you the definition of spirit. The definition of spirit is as the wind, breath, invisible. That is a spirit. You can't see a spirit. You can't feel a spirit. Are you listening? God is a spirit. He's not a person. A person means physical, presence, countenance, face, outward appearance, substance, a human being. God, how many can agree that God is not a human being? God is a spirit. A person is a human being. God is not a person. So then there is no persons in God. If the Godhead means what it certainly says it is, that it's God, then there are no persons in God. How could you get a person in a spirit? I can see where you can get a spirit in a person, but how could you get a person in a spirit? You can get a person in the spirit, but you can't get a person in a spirit. Is that right? Let's run through that again. You can't get a person in God because God is a spirit. But you could get a spirit in a person, but you cannot get a... We better forget that. Spirit and a person, person and spirit. Oh, you can get a person in the spirit. How many's ever been in the spirit? You can get a person in the spirit. Is that right? You can get a person in the spirit, but you can't get a person in a spirit. Why? Because a spirit is invisible. So you can't get a person in God. So there are no persons in the Godhead. Well, that tears that theology all apart, don't it? So there are no persons in the Godhead. All right. Look at 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. But you can get God in a person. God was manifested in the flesh. For God was in Christ reconciling the world. Amen? Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. Speaking abundantly clear in his writings about what his beliefs were now concerning the Father and the Son. But to us, now who's he talking about? He's talking about him, the other apostles, and the church of his day. But to us, there is but one God. How many believes in one God? I believe in one God. The Father. Who is that one God? It is the Father, of whom are all things. Created everything alone, by himself. And we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Don't that make sense? Don't that make sense? There's only one God, the Father. And there's one Lord Jesus Christ. The one God, the Father, by whom are all things. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. And we by him. The Bible says in one place, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. That is the commandment. Not two gods, not three gods. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. The Bible teaches plainly that God was manifested, not incarnated, manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. Let's read that again in 1 Timothy. You don't have to turn to it. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. And that 2 Corinthians 19 again was that God was in Christ reconciling the world. That is so. That's the apostles' teaching. That's what they taught the church. Why can't we accept what they say? Why do we have to come up with our own theology, which gets us in more trouble? Why can't we just accept that? Believe it. Colossians 2 and 9. For in him... Now, this is what a lot of the one that Jesus used to preach their gospel, their doctrine, that Jesus is his own Father. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete. And how many know you're complete? In him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now there's nowhere that you could ever get in reading that scripture that Jesus is his own Father. It simply says, for what? For in him. God was in him. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God was in him. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. There he is. A beautiful picture. How many are you going to find sitting on a throne? Was there three thrones in heaven? No, there's one throne. How many are you going to find sitting on that throne? You're going to find one that sat on the throne. Who is that one? Jesus. Why is he sitting on a throne? Because God's in him. You can't separate them. They're one. My goodness. It's not a oneness doctrine. It's not a Jesus. It's not no kind of doctrine. It's just a simple matter of logic if you read the word. One Jesus Christ, the man, physical, a person, flesh, blood, bone. One God, the Father, which is in him. Inseparable. Complete. Total. And our access to the Father, by whom are all things, is by him. Jesus the Christ. My goodness alive. Am we making any sense today? Do I deny the deity of Christ? Well, it's impossible for anybody who would have sense to read the Word of God and deny the deity of Christ. He was born into royalty. A king that has a son, that son is the heir to the throne. And Jesus is the only Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. He is the only one that is an heir to the throne. And we're joint heirs by adoption. But he's a legal heir. He is the legal heir. He is the legal heir to what? Deity. He is the legal heir to divinity. He is the legal heir to all power. He is the legal heir to everything. If he's the legal heir to all of those things, and we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we share in that glory because of him. Not because of anything that you have done, but because he saw fit to call you by his grace, to bring you into his kingdom, and to share his glory with you and I. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, I found my note. The word Godhead means that which is divine. And he ain't talking about Andy. Some of you older folks. That which is divine. The divinity, the state of being God, God. That's the definition of the Godhead. Let me read again. God. It just simply means God. All right. Praise the Lord. One more scripture here. God's invisible, right? No man has seen God at any time. You can't see him. He's a spirit. You can't feel him. You can't touch him. He's not physical. Oh, you can feel his presence. Listen to this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. You know, he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Remember that? In one place he said, when you seeth me, you seeth him that sent me. He said, if you receive me, you receive him that sent me. He also turned around and said, well, if you receive him that I send, you receive him that sent me. See, if you can receive me, you receive him that sent me. And that's what Jesus said. And if you receive me, if Christ sent me, you receive Christ. And when you receive Christ, you receive him that sent Christ, which is God. Who hath delivered us. Ain't you glad you've been delivered? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Your residence was changed. In whom we have redemption. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Jesus was the Son of God. Now, you all resemble your parents in some way. But God being a spirit, there's no resemblance in a spirit. Jesus was actually the person of God, because God wasn't a person. Jesus became his person. His own son expressed his person. His own son expressed his image. So Jesus was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. From the beginning of time, God would not allow any image to be erected and to be worshipped. Why? Because, see, God had an image prepared to worship. Whew. Now, that's powerful. I'm telling you, that is a powerful statement. God had an image prepared before the foundation of the world to be worshipped. And that image was Jesus Christ. That is a powerful statement. Should we worship Him? Whew. Are you kidding? Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. How many loves the Lord? Galatians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Praise the Lord. Let me read just two or three scriptures here and we'll close on worship. Do you believe you need to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He our Lord? Is He our God? I confess Him as my Lord and my God. I confess Him as the place of divine worship, the only place, the only ordained place. Because He is the image of the invisible God. He is that image that God foreordained that we were to worship. He said, I'll have no other gods before me. But Jesus was not a God before Him. Jesus was the image of the God that man wanted to see. And God saw fit to let man see Him in His Son. It is so perfect, children of God. It is such a perfect message. I cannot believe that anyone can confuse a message of this importance and of this simplicity. Our worship must be directed toward Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. He is that image that we are to worship. The Bible says, and you don't have to look these up. I'll quickly go through these few scriptures and we'll close. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:6-8, and again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, who saith? God saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He saith, who make His angel spirits and His ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son, He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. You believe that? When God brought forth the Son into the world, He said, what did He say? Thy throne, O God. A king was born. I could just hear, if the king of England, if there was a king of England and he had a son, can you imagine him looking at his son, coming down to the world, and he looking at his son and says, thy throne, O king, is awaiting you. Why? Because he would inherit the throne. Thy throne, O king, is awaiting you. Thy throne, O God. Whew. Lord, have mercy. From the beginning, wise men sought to worship Him. Are there any wise here? He seeks to worship Him. Matthew 2:2. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. Matthew 2:11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped Him. After the resurrection of the Lord, and after the Lord opened up their understanding of the Scriptures, Luke 24:52, and they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Remember, God said, I'll have no other gods before me. There'll be no one else to worship except me. But how can you worship Him? The only one way you can, through His Son, Jesus Christ. So simple. Matthew 28:9, and as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they come and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Matthew 28:16-17. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. Let's go on to Philippians 2:10.
that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess what? Someone finish it. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All right. That ought to be enough. Have we made any kind of sense today? Are we more one than when we start? Do we have understanding? We're not denying the deity of Christ. My God, we're pinpointing the deity of Christ. We're bringing recognition to Jesus, the Son of God. We're obeying that form of doctrine that was delivered to us. We are expressing that form of doctrine. And this is the message. I'm telling you, this is the message. I've said it from the beginning, from the time that the Lord kept me up all of that one night. If y'all remember when I wrote that message 2 or 3 years ago. All night, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, you get God talking to you that way all night long, you're going to do something about it. What was he doing? He was bringing me back to what I knew from the beginning. Bringing me back to the message that was 30 years old. Bringing me back to that message. And I believe when I was in Texas and the Spirit of the Lord lifted me off that bed, I believe that God was saying to me, this is the message. This is the message. Why? It is the message of eternal salvation. And we lost the Lord. And we lust the Lord. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of a sudden the Trinitarians and the oneness all just recognize that we're brethren and Jesus is the Son. And just say, well, let's behold him. Let's do everything in word and deed in his name. See what I'm saying? I mean, my goodness. There's no other name given under heaven whereby my men must be saved. It's the only name to be baptized in. It's the only name to pray in. It's the only name that will give you salvation. Why? It's God's own name that he gave his son. It is the family name. See, it all just comes right to the conclusion of the whole matter. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one to be preached. And children, if we just preach him, no mumbo jumbo, no tracks about here's my Godhead track. Let's preach Jesus. If you preach him, if you acknowledge the Son, you have the Father also. But if you deny the Son, you have not the Father. You have not the Father. Have me acknowledged it, the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Do you love him? Oh, it's early. I thought it was late. When you go home, I want y'all to look into your Bibles, or when you get opportunity, and I want you to look at how each of the epistles were began. From Romans all the way through the New Testament. And I want you to read in there how they began all their epistles. If these men, from most of course is Paul, believed that Jesus was his own father, then he deliberately deceived the church of his day. By the way, he began his epistles to every church. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes all the way through. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all the way through. 2 John 1 and 3, and I'll just read the last one I've got wrote down. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And he loves the Lord. I've had a good time this morning. Let's give Jesus a hand clap for it. Praise the Lord. You know, if you just forget all your troubles and your trials and all that kind of stuff, and you just let the Lord be God. Amen. You love him this morning?